I ask you to turn back with me to Exodus 33. I don't want to try your patience here. But I might. I don't know. It's been such a good portion that the Lord has opened to my heart to it. Thinking about that, you were singing about the angels. Speaking about the angels, learning God, and yet you know that they'll be silent. When the church sings, I mean, when she's fully redeemed. We are being redeemed. Won't be fully redeemed until we pass this walk of life. They don't know about mercy. They never were sinners. You know about mercy, and you know about grace. And God made no provision for the fallen angels. He left them in that state. But for the pitiful, pitiful creature of mankind, God, made a way to get back to Him. Not us building some tower, reach heaven. It was heaven coming down where we were. Let's unite our hearts together as we approach the throne of grace. Holy Father, again we gather to worship. We sing praises unto Thee, give thanks. We gather also, Father, to hear from Thee. These dear folk can't benefit if it is only that I have come up with. It will be of no profit. They will not gain. Father, if you'll open the book, if you'll give us the Spirit, you'll enable to speak and give the words. Then the sheep will find bread for their soul. Lord Jesus, would you this day do for us as you did for the multitude? Didn't have bread, Your disciples didn't have enough money to go and buy sufficient to feed them. But you took a few fish and a few loaves and you blessed it. You broke it and you gave it to your disciples and they distributed. And there was such an abundance that they gathered up basketfuls. Break thou heaven's bread for us. For Jesus, do as you did to those two disciples on their way from Jerusalem. But in the breaking of bread, there was a recognition of Christ in their presence. I pray that you give us a fitted mind and heart to receive. Again, this cannot be done by us. The best of our efforts will fail. And unless you visit with us, we'll just be here. And we'll just leave as we enter. I pray you'd help us. I ask you to glorify Christ. I ask, O Lord, that you might provide that which each heart needs. I pray that you might be with those that cannot, for various reasons, be here this day, that you might comfort, that you might help spiritually, and hear us. For we ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for His great honor. We pray. Amen. Exodus 33. Moses, in verse number 13, has requested for a manifestation, a realization of that God has promised him. And God begins to answer in verse number 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. There has not been many times, especially in the last few years, that I've ever left to have to go somewhere else and preach, that I did not make this known to God. And he, verse 15, Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Let us stay where we are, unless you go with us. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Grace was promised. Grace was said to have been given to Moses. And yet, unless that is experientially known, it is of no benefit to us. I don't want to join in the chorus of the saints singing about the grace of God, and it just be an echo, and it not be reality in my heart. How can I know that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? And Moses' answers his own question to God. Is it not in that thou goest with us? I'll know of grace by the presence of God. I'll know whether or not worship was real, was true, by the presence of God in the worship service. What if I and thy people have found grace? How will it be manifest? It'll be this. Thou goest with us. And if God goes with us, rest assured, children, we shall be separated. I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. 40 years ago, in some months, I began in the ministry. I knew so little about God. And yet there was always places to go and preach throughout this county, Clay, Cleburne, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee. But the more I come to know of God, the fewer the places were that I got to preach. One thing religious folk don't want to know is God. They won't know about religion. All the children of God will become acquainted with the presence of God and Him going, and they will be made aware of the separation that the presence of God, or they in the presence of God, bring about in their lives. Your so-called friends are going to drop off. They won't be as many. I always wondered about that verse, when we begin to lose friends, For the gospel's sake and God restoring them 100-fold. Only way I can explain that is if you've got a friend in Christ, he or she's worth 100 so-called friends. They don't want to go with you. Way gets narrower as you get closer to that city. It gets straighter. And you lose so much of your earthly identity that you become strangers and pilgrims, and folk don't want to be. Oh, what people with a one-track mind or a one-sight vision. I know that we found grace in that you go with us, and that we shall be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, folk, I suppose that there is no better definition for grace than that one which is of long usage, the free, unmerited favor of God. That's grace defined. But then when we look about or look at the word finding grace. If I use the word find, it has to do with objects that were lost. I lost my car keys, or my house keys, or my wallet, or your purse. And you hunt for that, and you find that which was lost. And then there are times that you find that you were not hunting. Someone's dropped a $20 bill, and you run across it, or a coin, and you find that which you were not looking for, grace. Grace is that which has been bestowed upon the objects of mercy without it being looked for. Luke 15, the shepherd lost the sheep. The same chapter, the woman lost the piece of silver. The sheep didn't lose itself. The coin didn't lose itself. The shepherd found the sheep. The lady lit the lanterns, the lamps, and swept the house. And she found the lost coin. She was looking for it, but you weren't looking for grace. God found you. The people found grace in the sight of God. And they know that because God is with them. Oh, Him. I can't get all of it, but I have found Him whom my soul so long had sought. But it was grace in her heart, in his heart, already there, causing him to hunt for, to try to find that which already had. religious folks. They're looking for a sign, always have been looking for that which is evident through the natural senses. Let me just see. Let me feel. Let me sense. They want that which is evident, but they're looking for it in the wrong, or they're looking for evidence in the wrong place. They want that evidence to flow through their natural senses. And the religious folk go out to the house of God and most worship places today, so-called worship places today, have to do with only entertainment or excitement. And that kind of excitement lasts only as long as the service or shortly thereafter, for when they leave the building in which the flesh was excited, it's worn off within minutes. It's not going to last. And there's that emptiness once again. And it won't be filled until they get back to another religious service in which the entertainment is greater this time than it was the time before. And again, they leave the assembly void and empty, and the only way that they can make it through the week is if they fill up their life with activities because of the void and the emptiness that is within. See, children, God created man, the highest of God's created order, that he might know God, and that he might fellowship with God, that he might walk with God and speak with God and have him speak to him. And that's the only thing. Everything else aside, or everything else gained, that is the only thing that will fill the void in our hearts. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form. That is confusion. Unreality. The earth was without form. Confusion, no reality, and void, emptiness, and waste. And that's how every heart born after Adam and Eve sinned is going to find themselves. Confusion, no reality within, emptiness, and waste. And the child of God enters into a religious service, and there may be excitement there, and they might get caught up for a time. But inwardly, the wall is excitement about one of the things is brought about. So many gospel scenes in our lifetime is the excitement and nothing more than the excitement of the flesh. And God's children there, they leave. With an empty soul. Excitement in worship services does not fill the void or the emptiness lot of the children of God that go where there is a form of religion and even a right exposition of the Scriptures. But they leave empty. Because spirituality and the presence of God, known and realized in the hearts of the children, does not come from mere doctrinal preaching and exposition of the Scriptures. The land is filled today with a religious voice of biblical scholars that have been tutored rightly in the Word of God and intellectually know much about God. But they don't know God. And there's that is missing. Because there's no prophets. A scribe can read and tell you about what he's learned. But it takes one that has been in the presence of God. The prophets of old, it takes them to get to replace the scribe that's telling you only that he knows in his head. It takes that old prophet that has been in the presence of God that comes back. And he's not telling you because he read it somewhere, but he's telling you because he's been in the reality of a living God. That's all that you ought to be interested in your gathering here. Whether or not God abides in our midst. That's the one evidence that you found grace in your soul. It is that there is the reality of you being in the presence of God. And form doesn't get it with you. For 400 years, the scribes told Israel thus, and thus saith the Word of God. And they took the canopy that they had of the Old Testament Scriptures, and they set that before the children of Israel, but there was no voice of God in the land. Heaven was silent. Nobody heard from God. Or they had their Bibles. They read their Bibles. They went down to the temple for 400 years. They carried on the religious service as best as they could interpret it from the Word of God, but there was no prophet. Nobody could tell them. God said thus. It's gone today, children. I mean, religion abounds. There be untold millions that will visit so-called worship services and many of them will be well instructed in the teachings of Scripture, but they are void of the presence of God. Heaven's silent. There couldn't be this great apostasy that abounds in our land today if there was God talking. There would not have been the hour of darkness where Christ put himself into the hands of those religious leaders if he had not stopped talking. If the Spirit of God was moving. They had all the symbols. They had all the ceremonies. They had all the form. They kept going to the temple. They kept carrying the lambs. They kept offering up the turtle doves. When they didn't have it, they could go down to the temple and there they could find, because the house of God had become a den of thieves. And they were trafficking, merchandising. Nobody had put up a lamb, keep it up for 14 days. Let the children feed it, care for it, and become acquainted with it, fond of it, and then take it down and watch the priest offer it up as a sacrifice. Without any involvement in the sacrifice, they could go down there and they could buy what they needed, and they could go through that ritual, and then they could leave and go back home and not be bothered. And it is that today. I don't want you here comfortable. I don't want you here nestled down in a little nice, easy form of religion, unless in that you found God. You dealt with God while you were here, and the book was being opened. And you brought in the lamb, and you put your hands on it, and when it was offered to God, you knew that that was an innocent victim that paid the full price that the justice of God demanded. But you were involved in it. But from Malachi to the coming of John the Baptist, 400 years of silence. It no longer was the Lord's Passover. Jesus himself referred to it as the Feast of the Jews. It lost all spiritual significance because it lost the presence of God. Not a man. There wasn't a man on the face of the earth. And every once in a while, I like to in mind, go back to just a few of those old men that I sat under. And I heard God. When an old man drove from Houston, Texas every year, down to a camp in Florida. They had a lot of different preachers throughout the week. They had some that were eloquent in their delivery. They had some that caught your attention physically and mentally, because they were well grounded in the scriptures, but they didn't move your soul. But when that old man stood, and he never raised his voice, or it was seldom that he raised his voice. By the way, there wasn't much shouting there when he stood up. It got quiet. But there was a sense of the presence of God. And I listened to him for a few weeks, scattered throughout, open Psalm 23. Never in my life have I been exalted that high. I wasn't running around the building. I sat very quietly, but my heart was called up to God. There were some others. Their voices, it's gone. There's not a true preacher that's got the voice as a voice to the American people anymore like some of these men had. There's not a man, was not a man found. And I grant you this, you can probably list them on one hand. I know there's some hidden ones. I'm not in this exclusive little club where I know God's got some men out there. I know there's some unheard of that know what it is to get caught up and come down and speak to you. But there's so few. They can't get to God. It's evident they don't know God. Though they talk. But it's like the people of Israel found Ezekiel. He was to them as a lovely song. But their hearts weren't moved heavenward, because heaven was silent. And then Jesus comes on the scene. Matthew 7, that crowd listened to him, and he taught as one having authority and not as a scribe. All they had heard for 400 years were men that stood up and told them what they had read about God. Here's God come down, and he spoke as one having authority. Mark 12, and the common people heard him gladly. There was something in his words that were real. There was something in his words that made folk know he knew what he was talking about. There was that reality in his soul that made them realize he knew God. Most of them didn't know he was the Son of God. They did ascribe to him a prophet come from God. But there was that difference. And they knew. They'd heard from God. And they knew there was a difference about this individual. They knew there's somebody here. Not only knows the word grace, but he knows that grace found brings one into the living reality of the presence of a God that lives. I don't want you to know the God of the Baptist. I don't want you to know the God of the Methodist. I want you to know the God that lives. I don't want you to walk out of here, well, that was a good sermon, or that was a good lecture. I want you to walk out of here under the realization that God was real in your soul this day. And then you know something of the presence of God. You know grace? If you know grace, you know God's presence. Why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul? Why art thou cast down? For I shall yet praise him with the help of his countenance. Psalm 42:5. All I need is to see the face of God, the countenance of God. All I need is for the capital S-U-N Malachi, for I need the Son of Righteousness to arise with healing in his wings. I need the reality of God. And you must, Not the loud voice of your preacher. You need that still small voice that quiets your heart and makes you know, brings you into the awareness of the presence of God. That fills that void and that emptiness. And you don't need things next week to keep you entertained, because God's real. And you can travel down the road in the reality that God is there. Or you can be lifted above the grief and the sorrow within, or the emptiness and the unreality within. You can be lifted above all that because the sun has risen. Because the countenance of God is seen. Because the presence of God is living, real. And it enables you to pray without uttering words. And enables you to sing. Not from the head, but from the heart. And it enables you to listen to the word of God preached. Because beyond the preacher's voice, there is that in your soul that's echoing, saying, God is living in my heart. And you walk out of here inwardly excited. For our gospel, Paul said, 1 Thessalonians, came not in word only, but in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. Wasn't Paul's voice? It was the voice of God in the apostle. You found grace? If you found grace, then you know something of God going with you. And in your lonely hour, they're not that lonely. God's there. Now, folk, don't think that you will 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, have a consciousness of the presence of God. It's not going to be that way. There are going to be times when faith will be brought to its greatest exercise to believe, though you do not feel, you do not sense, and there is absolutely no awareness that God is anywhere near. Faith will be called into its greatest exercise to lift you above that you cannot feel and you cannot sense, into the reality that God is always with me. You might walk out of here with that and by 3 o'clock this evening be under a heavy weight. That's not real anymore. But then faith carries you beyond sight. Faith carries you beyond feeling. And faith casts its eye upon that which sight cannot, eye cannot see, or the ear cannot hear. And it just said, God is faithful and ever present. But there are times when the omnipresent presence. You know what that is? God is everywhere in all places and at all times, and there is no place that God is not. There are times when that's not sufficient for the child of God. Lord, I know you're everywhere. Moses said, but I will know you are with me. I will know that you are with this people. I will know grace really by the reality of you going with me. There are times the omnipresence of God is not enough. There's a good verse, Isaiah 40. There are hundreds of them. Isaiah 40, verse number 11. This is when you get beyond. This is when the doctrine of God being everywhere is not sufficient. This is when you're in the wilderness. You don't know which way to go, that you need grace evidenced by the presence of God. Isaiah 40:11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather. And folk, there are sometimes you're not going to have a bit of strength. And there are going to be some times that you are so despondent and so low, you just can't go on. The little lambs that don't have any strength, they're not enough strength. He'll gather the lambs with his arm. There are times when you're in deep trials. You're going to need God just to carry you in his bosom. There have been a few times in times of tragedy. I didn't have to walk. God was carrying me. And I used to sit around and think, how am I going to behave when this event occurs? And what's my action going to be? And I was looking at bad things. And you can imagine a lot of things. But the one thing you can't imagine is in those times that you so dreaded, God gathering you up into his bosom, or gently lead those that are with you. They're either carrying unborn lambs, or they have just given birth and they don't have the strength. They are with young. And the great shepherd like Jacob, he put the little tender sheep out front and he put his children out. And he said to Esau, you go on. I can't go except at the pace of my weakest child. That's our shepherd. That's his presence. And let me hasten now. If you think that as a lot of Baptists do. Grace bestowed was a one-time event. And from now on, you are to persevere in your own strength and energy. You're still too much under the stranglehold of religion. You may not be able to feel. You may not be able to sense grace. There used to be. It's all still now because of the dam. But there used to be a place from in the little Tallapoosa between the old 431 and the bridge down here, where for a half a mile to a mile you didn't move if you were floating or canoeing. The water looked so still, and you just sat there. If you got through that, you'd put forth an effort. But the water was moving. There may be times when there is no sense and no evidence of grace present with God. It may be as that river where it was so deep that it looked as if it wasn't moving. But you know, folk have found out over the years that where the shallow water is, there's the most noise. And I know that there's a lot of noise in our land, from the giant structured churches where the preachers would make them feel good and leave them with a positive attitude about themselves, and they all get excited. But I found out that where the water's deep, there's not any noise. And God's there, and it's moving. Grace wasn't bestowed 10 years ago. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead. Grace will carry me home. I'm not going to get to heaven in my own energy, in my own strength. The grace of God bestowed, though there are times when it is absolutely not evident that God is anywhere near, but grace surrounds and grace keeps us. And 'twill be our theme in glory. And it takes years. The grace of God, this is the third Sunday in a row I've mentioned this verse, but the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching. The word means to instruct, it means to discipline, it means to chastise. It is used in several occasions of that of a father. Strictly, instructing, catechizing, chastening the children to mold and develop character in their lives. The grace of God that brings salvation will be continually instructing or disciplining us to develop the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we quit acting so much from our own nature, and we begin responding from that within. Somebody says something derogatory or cutting to you, and the first reaction is to snap back at them. But the grace of God will over the years will silence your heart and either cause you not to say anything or to say something that is pleasant. And there's not a retaliation in the developed children of God. Simon, thy name shall be called Cephas. That is a stone. But it took a lot of years. He cursed, denied that he knew Christ. He told Christ he didn't know what he was talking about when he said he had to go to the cross. But now you go home and sometime this week you read the epistles of Peter, that old aged saint, and he'll tell you something about fiery trials. And he'll tell you something that he's learned, that grace brought him through from his youthful days of discipleship. It is filled with a man speaking from his heart by experience of what grace has done. I think it's in Genesis 28. You can find it sometime. When the angel wrestled with Jacob and changed his name. You no longer shall be called Jacob. In chapter number 35, God met Jacob as he came out of Paddan Aram. He said to him, your name shall not any longer be called Israel. 5 chapters before God named him, but he was still acting a lot like Jacob. And God came back and said, your name's Israel. And it's the grace of God that instructs, that disciplines, that builds character within. It is the presence of God that guides and directs. It is the presence of God that quietens the fears and calms the heart that is beat about by the stormy winds and high waters. It is the presence of God that gives vitality to the children's duties. Give life to the children's duties. And it is that presence alone that fills the void and emptiness in your heart. And in the law, God said to Israel, he said, I want you to keep the camp clean. Don't want any waste on the grounds. Because I walk in your midst. In Ezekiel and several times in Zechariah, God speaks about being in the midst of Zion. We cannot call ourselves a church correctly until it is evidenced that God is in our midst. And we can't speak of grace correctly unless grace has brought us into the presence of God. Tim, will you come dismiss us? I do hope you'll remember Larry. He was having a rough day Thursday. How is he? You heard this morning, Dave? They did give him some medicine. It got him calmed down a little bit with all that.
Yeah. He said if he had another day like Thursday,
he would have quit. Yeah, he would have quit. He would have pulled out the IV and walked away. And remember him, that God might be pleased to use the medication, raise him up and his family. And Mom, if you would continue to remember her. She's been battling quite a bit of pain this week, as is expected, but thank you for your prayers for her. Anybody else? May the Lord bless you, children. Not in the sense of little ones, but in the sense of God's children. May the Lord bless you, guide you, direct you, and bring you more and more into a reality of His presence. Tim.